Get excited, Whataburger fans. Our one-of-a-kind mushroom Swiss burger is back.
And now it's an all-time favorite.
If you love mushrooms, you're going to love this burger.
Two patties, two slices of Swiss cheese, two layers of mushrooms. These mushrooms are beautiful.
It's a really good balance between hearty and savory. That au jus sauce on top.
The creamy au jus sauce. It really sets it apart.
Just adds flavor that makes you go, wow. It is just absolutely amazing.
It's not just a mushroom Swiss burger. It's a Whataburger mushroom Swiss burger. Get excited, Whataburger fans. Our one-of-a-kind mushroom Swiss burger is back.
And now it's an all-time favorite.
If you love mushrooms, you're going to love this burger.
Two patties, two slices of Swiss cheese, two layers of mushrooms. These mushrooms are beautiful.
It's a really good balance between hearty and savory. That au jus sauce on top.
The creamy au jus sauce. It really sets it apart.
Just adds flavor that makes you go, wow. It is just absolutely amazing.
It's not just a mushroom Swiss burger. It's a Whataburger mushroom Swiss burger.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another evening with Joe Montalvo on News on the Flipside. Hope everyone's been having a great day today. I hope your news has been good all day today. Well, I know it's not always necessarily good, but some weeks it's better than others, and some days by far better than others. But again, welcome to News on the Flipside with your host, Joe Montalvo. Lily White is off tonight taking care of some personal stuff. We talked about one of the reasons I was late, not the only reason I was late, but I was chatting with her just before we came online, so... Actually, just write to her, Chris. You can go on Facebook or hit up on one of the Facebook pages. Or just go on News and Flipside page and post. Actually, I'd have to go look it up. I don't have her email right off the top of my head. No, I'd have to actually go look it up. When I want to talk to her, I call her or text her. You know, damn should I give her a phone number. So I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Anyway. Cheers, buck buck, chippo, tip tip, cheerio. All kind of weirdness is going on tonight, so let's start off with Iran. You know, I'm personally tired of hearing of Iran. I mean, it's been like this for, well, I'm 56 years old, so I'm constantly hearing Iran this, Iran that, Iran this. You know, we used to hear that about Afghanistan and Iraq and other places in the world that we have now either squashed, taken over, or given to our allies. In some cases, even our enemies. It's just, we can't allow them to interfere with the world's oil supply. It's not going to hurt Americans as much as it's going to hurt everybody else because America's oil independent now. We'll actually make money, but the prices are still going to go up through the roof. I mean, just look, one little bomb and gas is up, what, last I checked, or crude oil was up, last I checked, 15%. It's probably higher than that now from one little bombing. And what are we going to have to do, deploy troops to the Middle East just to keep the oil safe for the rest of the world? Well, first off, I don't even know if it's our job. And you got to remember, Russia benefits from high oil prices. Yeah, so we don't even know if this truly was an Iran attack or if this was some kind of thing just to drive up prices. But first thing I would do, if it does turn out that Iran did this, I wouldn't start a war with them. First thing I would do is seize all their tankers. Iran's got a lot of oil tankers sitting around full of oil right now. Plus they seize other people. I'd seize them all. Every one of them. I'd seize every tanky they have and cut their oil supply off to the world completely. And then let them deal with that. And after, if they did it again, then I would go in and take Tehran. No, yeah, because there's no reason to let them keep intent. I mean, that's terrorism against the planet. Anytime you attack the global oil supply, that is terrorism against the planet. Now, Russia and China can get all huffy if they want, but they both know they cannot stop them from being invaded. Well, China really needs to stay out of everything right now. China got a lot of problems at home with this trade stuff with the United States and with Hong Kong, getting any extent, and then they got the South China Sea to deal with. They're getting overextended. And now that America's cutting off money with them and telling our companies to start looking to do business with other countries, you gotta remember, we're talking $500 billion that China's going to lose, $500 billion when America goes away. That puts them back, not quite to a third world country, but it takes them out of being a first world country. And then if our allies follow suit, especially if we start putting pressure on them to follow suit, China's back to being a third world country. Without Europe and America, China has no one to sell to, no one that's going to make them any real money. It puts them back to being a third world country. All because they can't play nice and they've got to constantly be stealing other people's ideas. The world's tired of it, China. I love the Chinese people. I love China in itself. It's just, look, You want to be a global player, then become a democracy. Even Russia realized, the Soviet Union realized, you're going to have to become a democracy. Well, you just make an enemy out of everybody else in the world, sort of. That's what you do. You just make an enemy out of everybody else in the world. So at this point, Iran's got to figure out what it's going to do. Saudi is not going to let Iran keep blowing its shit up. You can take that to the bank. And because of this, there's a new peace initiative in the Middle East, and of all countries, which I'm still having an issue with, Saudi and Israel are talking about a defense pact. I know. A principality and a democracy. It'll be a first. It'll be a step in the right direction in Iran, though, let's be honest. It'll definitely be a step in the right direction. I mean, I don't know what else to tell y'all, but it would definitely be a step in the right direction. It would help curtail Iran. It gives us a jumping off point, which, I mean, we can use those countries anyway, but, well, we can deploy missiles there and other things. So, Bruce Boxletter. Oh, yeah, are you the real Babylon 5 guy? Yeah, I don't think so, but I just seen the name. And it made me think of Babylon 5. Well, Bruce Boxleitner played Captain John Sheridan in Babylon 5. Mm-hmm. That's why when I seen the name, I thought it. So you want to know why we should trust Saudi Arabia? Well, we can trust them more than we can trust Israel. I mean, not Israel, Iran. So if we're over there and got a defense pact going with both of them, it'll be easier to keep an eye on Saudi anyway. And Saudi's even starting to let their women drive now. They can go to movie theaters. Yeah, Saudi's trying to come into the real world. Well, because no one in the rest of the world is going to accept you if you oppress women. I was going to say depress women, but we're going to leave that all together alone. Oppress women. So, you know, grow up, we're in a new world, deal with it. Well, I mean, you know, the guy did chop up that guy and melt him in acid, the Saudi prince. Not the nicest booger I've ever seen, that's for sure. Well, when it comes to Iran, Iran needs change. And the youth in Iran is changing. But the people, the mullahs and all who have control, are not going to allow that to happen long. And after a while, they just get brainwashed like everybody else when you hear something constantly over and over and over and over and over. The thing that's been helping America and hurting Iran, the same thing is hurting China. America sanctioned them up and they don't have any money. You know the old saying, money talks and bullshit walks. So in these countries now, the money's getting thin. Everyday, daily items that you usually took for granted now are getting hard to find. I mean, come on, in Russia, cheese is like one of the most expensive items there now, all because of sanctions from America. Well, I should say from our allies. You know, China's starting to feel the crunch on other items. Well, immediately, you know, sometimes you can shift and buy from another country. But the problem for China is, especially with feeding its population, if America cuts off the major sources of food, then China's in deep trouble. It don't matter how much money it's got, it's still not going to be able to get the food it needs. It would have to turn like half of Russia into making food. And it may one day. We don't know. I mean, they've been cozying up together for a long time, but Russia just found out that China stole its plans to one of its MiGs, one of its very advanced MiGs. So Russia ain't real happy about that at the time being. Well, Russia's got to think, if China ever gets more advanced than them, it's a good chance that China might decide to take Russia and just turn its citizens into, you know, Chinese people, into Chinese citizens, or kill them all off, one or the other. Now think about it, you got a country of 1.4 billion. Russia's a huge landmass with lots of good growing territory in it and all kind of other benefits, from oil to plutonium to all sorts of things that the Chinese need. It would be the easy invasion point. And less Russia used nukes, China might be able to take them pretty easily, unless the U.S. or Europe steps in. I'm just saying, I mean, it's the only thing holding them back right now is the mutual protection pact, or not the mutual defense pact. Russia's just playing a dangerous game. And I've noticed quite a few people in Russia have said something about it now, but we're back. We're not Cold War Russia, and we're not Soviet Russia, but with Putin running things, we are definitely not free speech Russia. It's a harsh place. It's much harsher than the United States. China's trying to move forward, but China keeps running the block. You know, they want to expand in the South China Sea, but no, we don't think that belongs to them. You can't start claiming territory all of a sudden now. They don't want to give up Taiwan. Taiwan's never going back. As it is, they're about to lose Hong Kong. These are island nations that are basically saying, screw you. We don't want to be part of your country. And the sad part is Taiwan and Hong Kong would probably go ahead and become part of China again if they would just become a real, true democracy. But they don't want to be a democracy. No, they want the power. Yeah, power corrupts absolutely. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. In this case, it's true. I mean, Ping's already talking about wanting to be emperor for life. I don't know about all that. He may have had a shot, but now that the U.S. is slapping him back on money and fixing to put sanctions on him, that's hurting China. And now we're pushing other people to do the same. It's hurting China even more. And then Hong Kong, you know, trying to break away and they can't do anything. That's losing face. I mean, Ping's losing face hard. I mean, he should have done something about Hong Kong. But the problem for that is, how do you do something to make everybody stop in Hong Kong without pissing off the rest of the world? And it made Britain so nervous they sent an aircraft carrier over there. Yeah, China's furious about that, but Britain guaranteed Hong Kong sovereignty. Yeah, the deal was when they handed back Hong Kong, it would always be a democracy. It would never be. It would belong to China, but it would be separate as a democracy. And that's what they should have done with Taiwan. But China can't honor that. It has a hard time. China was already trying to change the government in Hong Kong and change the vote and add new rules and arrest people. They went out of their way to go find some guy in Europe, some activist in Europe who was in Hong Kong and arrest him and drag him back to Beijing. That just, you're just making a martyr out of him. I don't even know why they would do that. We have a big listening audience in China, and I don't want to lose it. So, we have a big listening audience in China. We started out in Hong Kong about 16 years ago. And have been actually longer than that, almost 20 years ago. And have been growing ever since. We're probably one of the few U.S. networks that's scattered you can get in so many areas in China. Anyway, the reason I bring that up is I don't want to lose our Chinese audience. I'm not so mad because of what I'm saying. I mean, they can always bleep it out or cut it out. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff they like to listen to on the network, but because I know if it keeps up, America's going to bankrupt them, and there are people not even going to be able to afford the basic internet it takes to watch this show or to listen to this show or anything that they can get their hands on. And by the way, I appreciate everybody over there that listens. You know, if there's anything I can do to help or, you know, because I'm not criticizing your leader, because, you know, it's hard to criticize when you don't actually live there. I live in Louisiana and Mississippi in the deep south where we still believe in open doors for women and saying good evening, good morning, good afternoon, yes, sir, no, sir, thank you, things like that. You know, polite, just nice people in general. Even though there's lots of big cities, and you know, people say, well, you don't understand because you don't live in a big city. My ass. You've been to Houston? Houston's bigger than New York. You've been to Dallas? The Dallas-Fort Worth area? They're huge. You've been to Miami? Been to Jackson? What, New Orleans? New Orleans is probably about the size of the Bronx. I mean, it's a big city. But it's not a big city. There's only 500,000 people in it. It's not a huge city. Atlanta getting pretty big, but whereas New York kind of compacted and went upward, the newer cities don't go as high. They kind of spread out more now. Yeah. New Orleans is one of those traditional cities with a bunch of tall buildings in the center of it. And Atlanta is to an extent, but it starts to fan out. You'll notice a lot of the other cities have started to do that too. They have a small central city, and then they just kind of expand out from that point outwards. It's interesting to watch them. But the South has a different attitude than the North, just like the West has a different attitude. Central part of the country has a different attitude. It's just how you were raised. And well, for me, I've lived in both rural and cities. And I've been to a lot of big cities out in it. Who asked that? Actually, Denise, I have been to New York more than once, too. You mean, what did I think of it? I found it to be like most big cities. Places where lots of interesting stuff, places that should be tore out and ripped out. I find New York to be disgusting and fascinating all in the same breath. But before anybody writes to me, I feel that way about most big cities, with the exception of maybe two or three, like Austin, Seattle, places like that. The reason why is they're just Portland. They're just way cleaner cities. They have a very small, poor ghetto-type population, and I don't mean by black. I just mean ghetto-style population, just a real poor segment. It's a very small segment. Their crimes are, you know, real low. The cities are clean, their cells. Now, from what I hear, the West Coast is changing a lot because of sanctuary city stuff. So, but actually, who wrote that? New Orleans is a sanctuary city. No, I don't live in the city itself anymore, but New Orleans is a sanctuary city. Problem is, Louisiana is not a sanctuary state. So the state will just come take them from the city. So what are you doing? No, you're not doing that. Yeah. Now I guarantee you go spend some time in Angola, you won't come back to Louisiana, that's for sure. It ain't gonna happen. And let me tell you what, from what I've heard, Angola's cleaned up 2,000 times more than it was just a decade ago, and 2,000 times from what it was a decade before that, and it's still a horrible place to be. Yeah, so I would advise staying away from there if you can. I agree that something's going to have to be done about Iran, but you can't just go jump out there. First off, you know, before going back to the regular news, first off, let's be honest. How do you start a war with Iran until you can prove absolutely that they did this? Well, the reason I'm saying that is that all I ever heard with George Bush Jr. is, oh, the war was fake. The war was fake. No, the war wasn't fake. The war was very, very real. You know, somebody said, well, there was no weapons of mass destruction. It's all in the way you look at things. Saddam Hussein only killed 2 million Iranians with nerve gas. Altogether, he's responsible for like 6 or 7 million deaths. That's a weapon of mass destruction, any way you look at that. There's no other way you can look at it. He was himself a weapon of mass destruction. So you can't say that there wasn't. There was. Whether it was nukes or not, I don't know, but there was chemical weapons found in several locations. So even if there weren't nukes, there were chemical weapons. So yeah, there were several reasons to be over there. But that's the point with this is not to put yourself in there. I mean, because Trump gets called on everything. You know, actually, Clarence, we're going to get to the cabinet stuff in a few minutes. But Trump gets called out all the time. So I would make sure my ducks were in a row before I was doing this. Besides that, China and Russia are going to be bitchy and pissy. So if we got concrete evidence, they have to back off because it just makes them look even worse. It makes it look like Russia might be doing this on purpose. And that'll just bring more sanctions on Russia. So they don't want that. So, yeah, we haven't sanctioned Russia into extinction, but we can. Yeah, really, we can do worse than that if we want to. We can start setting up blockades. So the only place they can get anything from is China. Well, India and China. That's virtually wanting to start a war, but... Well, Putin's got, 3 years left, and then he's out unless he rewrites the Congress again and adds two more terms. You know, this will be his fourth term. Yeah, I mean, this is his fourth term, so he'll be out after this. But we don't know who's going to take over, and he's still pretty healthy, so he'll still have a hand in what goes on. Who knows? He might become prime minister again, like Medvedev wants. So there's a lot yet to worry about when it comes to Russia, but Russia – you got to remember something about everybody on this planet. This is not the old Middle Ages. This is 2019. Ping wants to live. Why do you want to rule China and get nuked or have to live in an underground cell and not be able to enjoy life? No. That's not what they want. Putin's the same way. Putin likes to travel. He goes all around the world. He enjoys his family because his daughter's all over the place. He doesn't want to end the world. So, and they both know certain things you cannot push the United States in because you only leave us one course of action. Is war. Conventional war, neither one of us can beat them. Neither one can beat us. Even together, it would be tough, but they couldn't beat us. If we brought in our allies, it wouldn't even be much of a fight, so they'd have to use nukes. Because I figure whoever's losing, whether it was the United States, China, or Russia, somebody's going to use a nuke. Now, in all fairness, the United States nukes are pretty well kept, so most of them will probably work. In Russia's case, having a bitch's lava blow up on the pad. No telling where they're going to end up going. I mean, Russia got a lot of problems. Remember, they had more nukes than we did in the beginning. They still have actually more warheads, but Russia's actually taken more of their warheads off of their missiles and put them up than the United States did. Now, I haven't checked the count in about 5 or 6 years, so I may be off on this, but last count I had seen, we still had about 76 or 8,600 missiles with warheads on them, and Russia was down to about 5,600, 5,500 with warheads on them. But when they talked about this, they also talked about, for the most part, Russia was not inspecting their missiles very often, maybe once a year. They haven't been any real test firings. to be honest, they don't know if most of their cruise missiles are even going to launch. And a lot of this equipment was shut down for a while after the Soviet Union collapsed. Some of it is just now being brought back up. And even from what they said, even out of the 5,600, I think there's only really about 1,300 that are active. And we have a pretty good missile defense shields these days, not just ours, but around Europe and everywhere. So it's going to be tough on Russia. And if Russia can't get us, if something happens and we take out their nukes, they're doomed. There'll be a conquered nation to probably divide it up between us and Europe. We may take a big chunk of it that connects to Alaska up by the Bering Strait and then give the rest of it away to the rest of the countries, you know, whoever our allies were at the time, divvy it up. That might be enough for China to come on board and say, hey, look, China, we'll give you this chunk right here where you can go grow some food. I'm just saying the way it is dangerous for Russia, much more so than it is from anybody else. One of the saving graces for America is we're not on that continent. So really, sneaking up on us is not going to be an easy thing to do. And launching nukes at us is just, you just started a nuclear war. So, yeah, it makes it a little easier. But Europeans and I have it a little bit harder because, you know, Chinese and Russians, sooner or later, China's going to have to do something. Either it's going to have to figure out a way to appease the world so it can feed its country and give out its country its growing mass, everything it wants, or it's going to have to invade somebody to do it because they took off their population restrictions and their birthing restrictions. So China could easily be 2 billion in less than 50 or 60 years. Definitely in 100 years, they could easily be 2.2 billion. And India's right behind them. India was poised to take them within two decades, but I don't know if it's still at that rate or not. I'd have to actually check and see. Well, stats go up and down all the time with this kind of stuff. But they were actually supposed to be taking them money-wise and population-wise. And I always told everybody kept telling me about China, this, China, that, China. I said, what about India? I said, why are we dealing with India more? India is a free nation. It's a part of the Commonwealth with the Brits, their allies. Why aren't we giving them the technology and making their people better? So we have. The average wage there is quite a bit higher than what it is in China. Technology is catching up there, even though they just had an unsuccessful moon rover landing. Feel for them on that. No, China's was successful. It was rolling all over the place last I checked. So they're poised to catch them, but it's going to be a while. And China was so good at stealing American and Russian technology and European technology that he got a kind of an up on India. But that's actually switching around now a little bit. Thanks to other big companies going to India and doing business with them. Do I think? You mean Turkey? I don't know where Turkey sits in all this right now. Turkey's on America's shit list right now because they wanted that Russian missile defense shield. And the United States said no, and they went ahead and got it anyway. So now we're not going to give them. Well, they got an aircraft carrier. We were going to put F-35s on it. Now we're not going to give them to them. We're like, no, we ain't giving you no F-35s. You're doing business with the Russians means we can't trust you. Well, we know Russia getting plans on the F-35. It kind of moots the point of building fifth and sixth generation fighters, doesn't it? Just saying, it does kind of move to point on that. But anyway, getting into some news, now that we've got all the gloom and doom out of the way. Well, I knew the Iran thing was going to take a little while because I knew there would be questions, and I said there's still quite a few more coming up in the room. But for the most part, I noticed down here when I went to bed yesterday, gas was $1.93 a gallon. Today, the highest I've seen it was $2.21. So yeah, it's already affected gas prices, and you're going to see it affect other things besides that. But let's move over here. Oh, and what's this? Inside the U.S. military, $223 million doomsday plane capable of surviving a nuclear weapon. You know, nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapon. I'm just reverting back to the episode of Star Trek when Chekhov is trying to say nuclear weapons. It cracks me up for some reason. This plane is badass. Guys, all I can tell you is go read up on it. I'm not going to get into the whole show about it, but there's a lot of interesting, cool stuff in this plane. I can't even believe they went into as much detail as they did. Let me turn it up. Y'all can hear it while I'm talking.
Destroyed? This $223 million plane would become the command and control center for the U.S. military's most senior officials. This is the E-4B Night Watch. It's basically a flying war room designed to withstand a nuclear blast.
I like to think of the E-4B as kind of like a flying backup Pentagon, potentially more secure than the Pentagon. If you're seeing it at its maximum capability, which hopefully we never do, yeah, you're looking at an apocalyptic scenario, which is why it's affectionately known as the Doomsday Plane.
Four E-4Bs make up the National Airborne Operations Center, and the U.S. Air Force is responsible for the operation of all four of them, out of Offutt Air Force Base near Omaha, Nebraska. The retrofitted Boeing 747s were made for war. Originally designed in 1973, the E-4 series planes were thought to be the best way a president during the Cold War might survive a nuclear explosion. And since their inception, one of the Doomsday planes has stood on alert 24/7.
Because we're a 24/7 ops mission, we are not a non-deployable unit due to our proximity to the president and all other key assets at one time. But day-to-day it is highly important because we can assume the role of a primary command center, much like the Pentagon is, much like STRATCOM can be. We can assume that role in the air as well.
In the immediate aftermath of a nuclear blast, the president, the secretary of defense, and the joint chiefs of staff would all be safe aboard the E-4B. From there, they could order nuclear strikes or execute emergency war orders. And while the majority of the E-4B's capabilities are classified, we do know a few things. The plane has three decks and can hold a crew of up to 112 people. With four massive engines, the E-4B can fly for 12 hours straight without refueling. But with aerial refueling capabilities, it could theoretically fly for several days. It costs nearly $160,000 per hour to fly the E-4B, making it the most expensive airplane the Air Force operates. And it's built to survive a nuclear blast. To prevent radiation, the windows have a wired mesh, similar to what you'd see on the window of a microwave. Equipment and wiring on board are hardened to survive an electromagnetic pulse. There's also thermal and nuclear shielding and direct fire countermeasures. Aboard the plane, space is broken down to optimize war coordination. At the front of the plane, executive quarters house the senior military officials. The upper rest has 18 bunks available for the Air Force crew. They work 24-hour, 7-day shifts and sleep on board. Beneath that is the secure conference room, where the Joint Chiefs, President, and Secretary of Defense can give war orders. The briefing room is where officials can update the traveling press or battle staff on strategy and coordination efforts. In the center of the plane, officers from every branch of the military will hammer out a strategy in the event of a crisis. This space is known as the battle staff room, and all outside communication happens at the back of the aircraft, from the communication and technical control room. From here, operators can communicate with virtually anyone in the world, in any situation.
It's designed that in the most austere environments, during or after a nuclear war, it survives and can communicate.
They're very interesting planes. That's all we're going to play. There's actually more of that clip if you want to go check it out, and you can find it on the site. It's always a good clip to listen to. I definitely think it's a badass aircraft. I don't know if we only got four, if that's what they're saying, but check them out. There's a lot of stuff you can't see. They're not going to tell you about it, a lot of classified stuff. There's some stuff I learned about when I was in the Air Force. I mean, in the Navy, but I ain't going to talk about it because it's probably still classified. I don't want to get in any trouble with the Fed. Yeah, because they do a background check on you every 4 years when you have a classification as high as mine. It's above top secret, yeah. That's way above top secret. And, you know, when people always, when they hear me say that, I get all these emails about, oh, you're a spook, you're this, you're that. Regardless of what I am, I couldn't tell you anyway, but I will tell you this. I worked in the Navy as an avionics specialist in advanced electronics and advanced avionics. That's what I did. I was attached to the USS Nimitz. That's what I was attached to, and I was attached to a bomber squadron out of New Orleans. Yeah, and that's all I can really, other than that, the reason I had to have classifications, like when I was on board ship, because of the electronics experts I had, what electronics expertise I had to be allowed into the reactor room, on board the flight decks, on board the in the tower, in the con. So my clearance had to be, you know, so high that you could go anywhere on the ship. Well, yeah, it's perfect to see a lot of things, but it doesn't. I remember the first time I was working on a jet. F-18 Hornet, by the way. And I had just pulled out an electronics panel, and I was going to go replace it. When a captain walked up behind me, this guy, big-time captain, walks up behind me. Not the captain of the ship, just a squadron captain, but he's a captain. Walks up behind me and says, "Holt, where are you going with that part?" I said, "Want to replace the part." He said, "And what the hell is your security clearance? You think you can just go walking around on a flight deck with a classified piece of material?" And I turned around and told him, and he said, "Oh, excuse me, go on with your duty." Now, this is a captain. I was a lonely E-4 at the time. I was a Renacro because I had gone through boot camp and got four stripes before I got out of, by the time I got out of boot camp, so I was a Renacro. And they had offered me OTS, which was officers training school. And I turned them down the first time. The second time, when they offered me cadet training, I was going to go. But to be honest with you, I was so short from being released to go home because I was a 4x10 reservist that I said, "Nah, that's okay. I'm going to go on and go home." Because for that, it requires a 10-year up. Now, they give you a big sign-on bonus, and they give you another bonus at 5 years in. And, you know, they send you to college for 4 or 5 years for free. And then you got to do 5 years of duty with them. But like I told them, I said, everything I've learned here, they're not going to be able to teach me anymore in college about the electronics on it. It's just, there's just nothing there. I mean, when I got my bachelor's, that's how I got it, because my it's advanced avionics, advanced electronics. There's not much I haven't already learned in the field. Now, I can't say what's new these days, but for what I did, that was top of the line. You know, Frank, I thought about it this is what was hard. When I got out of the Navy, I went looking for jobs in this field because I was really good at it and it was really high paying. But at the time, the only place I could get a job would have been New York City or Seattle, Washington. And frankly, at 22 years old, 21 years old, I didn't want to move there. I liked New Orleans. I wanted to stay in New Orleans. So out of all things, I got into business management at 21. Yep. Can you believe that? And I was I did really well in managing everywhere. I moved up fast in the companies I worked for over the next decade. And right not long after my son was born, I decided, man, I like working for myself. So I went into business for myself. And they liked to kick my ass for 4 or 5 years. Then I got it under control. And then I sold that business and moved to the Gulf Coast. Didn't do anything for 4 or 5 years, just kind of bummed around, sat on my ass, watched my kid grow up, babysit and stuff like that. And I started running out of money, so I had to go get a job. So I went and got a job managing in fast food restaurants. And I made really good money. You'd be amazed how much money fast food restaurant pays managers. Even there, even back then, talking 16, 18 years ago, 20 years ago, even then they were paying assistants $35,000, $40,000 a year. Managers $80,000, $100,000. They're paying more than that these days. And if you got a good store, a busy store, you can make some serious money. No, shift managers today probably make between $10 and $15 an hour, I would say. Yeah, probably. But I mean, if you don't have a lot of bills, it's not bad. But anyway, I digress. Let's get back to what we were talking about. You know, I got a really good education in the Navy. They really taught me a lot of stuff. I learned a lot of different things. And I got a really good security clearance when I came out. Even the clearance, though. By the way, while I was in boot camp, I got my sharpshooter's marksman's and sniper's badge. I qualified all three. Yeah, I did. And after, because of that, I did 12, almost 16 weeks of special forces training. And then I don't even know how to explain this. I was sitting there one day. I was exhausted. You know, special force training's a mother humper. I was doing good. I was passing without any problems. And I was sitting there one afternoon outside of San Diego in the middle of the woods where they dropped us off, and I was thinking, where is this leading me to? What kind of career is this going to lead me to? And do I want to kill anybody? Because learning what I was learning, sooner or later, I was going to have to kill somebody. I mean, you know, these kind of groups, sooner or later, you're going to be put in a position where you're going to end up killing somebody. So I sat there and I thought about it. So I got back to the barracks that day, and I came in early, too, beat everybody coming in. And commander's like, yeah. A couple of days went by, and I called him up. Well, I didn't call him up. I went to his thing and called him and said, I'd like to talk to you. And I got to talking to him. He said, "You're going to leave, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I just don't know where this is taking me." I said, I didn't come in the Navy to be a killer. I said, "I didn't come here to do this. I came in here to get an education so I could make a decent, you know, life when I got out of the service." He said, I understand that. He said something else. And I said, I just don't want to kill anybody unless I have to. I said, it's not that I don't think I'm capable of it, because I think if my life or somebody close to me's life was, you know, or somebody in general's life was in jeopardy, I could probably kill somebody, even though I wouldn't want to. But I didn't want to have to be put in a position to do it just because. And then there's something about killing somebody at a distance that just, I don't know, doesn't feel right. The whole thing didn't. So jepped out. He did me a good thing, sent me on HARP duty for 4 weeks to let my brain adjust from being in Special Forces training to going back to tech school, because I wasn't in boot camp anymore. I got out of boot camp, you know, 16 weeks earlier, and graduated with honors, by the way, out of boot camp. I went in with zero stripes, came out with four. And it's damn good. Let me tell you, I think it's hard, man. But so they did all that for me, and then they sent me to tech school in Tennessee. For what I actually signed up for, and the rest of it's history. But that's the reason I got such a high clearance. It's really, really high, but that's not like, yeah, spies or anything like that. I could probably be told about spies and they'd have to worry about it, but it's crazy the way, man, let me tell you what, real quick before we move on. When I got home, I came home about 2 years later, and I was just going around, man, they interviewed like 100 of my friends, ex-girlfriend, school teachers. I was impressed. I really was. I mean, they interviewed a lot of people. They came talk to my parents, my mom, and it was crazy. They wanted to know your character. They wanted to know if you were, you know, approachable, what kind of person you were. Apparently I passed it because I sure got the clearance. Anyway, moving on. Times faces questions around Cavendish story. Now, I seen this post yesterday evening, and I'm like, what the hell now? Another woman, blah, 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 blah. So then this morning, I'm on my way somewhere, and the radio comes on, and one of the talk show hosts, I don't even remember who it was, starts talking about this piece, you know what it was? I heard, of all places, my wife was watching The View this morning, and the first place I caught him talking about it was on The View. And then instantly, Whoopi starts talking about, well, I don't understand. So the guy wrote the book and he put it in the book, but the woman he's talking about doesn't remember it. Now, the really funny part to this is the other lady, when you know, the first two women that accused him, okay, the Ford woman, her best friend came out and said she didn't remember any of this, not at all. And then they said that there was 25 witnesses to the second event, right? Well, and then the girl, he said, well, nobody was interviewed. Well, that's not true. They interviewed almost all of them, and they all said they didn't remember the event. Because it's one thing to be saying something to your friend. It's another thing when you go in front of the FBI and say no, when you're talking about a Supreme Court judge. If you're caught lying, your ass is probably going to jail. So it was funny when the pressure got put on, how everybody's story started changing all of a sudden. What are you doing riding around in my yard, people? So it's kind of funny to me. So anyway, this piece was deliberately done this by, so, and this shows you how ignorant the Democrats actually are. Ladies and gentlemen, this proves that not a Democrat candidate running for president should be even thought of. So each and every one of them today, oh, he got to go, FBI, blah, 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 blah. Never bothered reading the Times article, never bothered finding out what was actually said. So let's reiterate this. The woman that the guy who wrote the book said this happened to said she this did not happen. She never remembered this ever. Now, the guy said Cavendish was exposed and pushed into the woman by one of his friends. The woman says she doesn't remember this all. And then again, even if that was true, it still wouldn't have been him trying to hump some woman. It would have been somebody else shoving him into her. Yeah, well, if he's naked, he's a dumbass. That's all I could say. Hey, college is college. You know, unless it's rape, then it should be left in college. Because I don't care if you're male or female, you've done some stupid shit in college. Unless you're in a Christian college, and even then you probably did some stupid shit in college. And like I said, unless it's rape or molestation of some kind, it should be left in college. And that's what most of this is. And some of this stuff goes back to high school. I mean, what's her name? Ford was high school. But that's where the Democratic Party is today. They have become the party of hate, the party of bullying. You know, I was talking to a black friend of mine the other day. I said, you do realize you still are slaves to the Democratic Party, right? They still believe in slavery. They say every time, oh, you're all, blacks are always going to vote for us. Why? I ask my black friends all the time, why would you vote for a Democrat? I said the same thing Trump did. What have they done for you in the last 20 years? Has your wages gone up any? No. Has your unemployment gone down? No. Nothing's really gotten better? No. Here comes Trump. Black unemployment through the floor, lowest it's ever been. Wages up all the way across the board. Blacks, women, Hispanics, Asians, everybody. But yet, for some reason, we still feel a knee on the head on this guy. And here's Kavanaugh. None of these stories are credible stories or even pertinent to this time frame. If you got to go back 40 years to cast doubt on somebody, that means that, first off, Democrats, you preach this, people can change. Well, apparently you don't believe what you preach. Because let's just say he was naked at a college frat party and some woman seen his weenie. Is that enough to end his life over that it happened 40 years ago and nothing else came out of it? No. I mean, that's ridiculous. Stephanie, to help with you, since you said that smart-ass comment, if I was to do what you said, do you know how many women would go to jail every year in the city of New Orleans? Yeah, because men ain't out there showing their things around, but women are all the time. You go on Bourbon Street almost any night and see some woman showing her boobs. And God help you if it's even close to any of the holiday seasons. Man, they are everybody showing their boobs. And you go walking down balconies in the middle of damn summer. What you doing, man? You're going walking in the middle of summer. You still see them walking down the street. I mean, people sitting on the balcony throwing beads at people for boobs or vice versa. So, no, women, you can't act like y'all all don't act like this. If y'all were all innocent, what was that? What's that? Oh, I can't think of it now. What's the guy that goes around spring break? You know, the guy who films all the women at spring break? Or wherever they are, women going wild, whatever it's called. Yeah. If we were all sweet and innocent like that, that guy would not be a multimillionaire. Let's just be honest about it. Yeah, ladies, you can't take the high ground on this. I know women try to do this to me all the time. Oh, well, bullshit. Don't tell me you want to act like that. Don't tell me you're going to grab no man by the ass or touch something you shouldn't. That's bullshit. You know, if you were all sweet and innocent like that, we wouldn't have 140 women go to jail in the last 2 years for child molestation in schools. So, no, you can't claim that you're any different than men when it comes to this. You had the same kind of hormone-driven mind that the rest of us do. So don't play that shit. Save that from bullshit that somebody don't know, that somebody don't know, maybe some little 14-year-old that don't know better. You know, not innocent. You ain't, definitely ain't all sweet. And as far as you any meaner or eviler than men, I don't know. That's up for grabs. Yeah, I can remember some pretty horrible things back in the day from women. So, yeah, I don't know. So we have to leave that up for grabs. Yeah, women are nurtured and kind and loved until you piss them off. Yeah, that's right. It's exactly the point. That's why that saying's always been around and still around today. You can't live with them and you can't live without them. Well, you know, as science advances, I don't know how true that's going to be in 50 years, but right now it's true. Oh, man. Thank God, Liz. I mean, she'd be giving me all kind of shit. It's in the end, we're a hormone-driven species, especially when we're young, and we do stupid shit. And I agree. So what happens is when should certain things be punished for? When should things not be? And when is it – it's never appropriate, but when is it forgivable, I guess, is the thing. And in this guy's case, so far everything I've seen him say should be forgivable. No, this isn't Cosby we're talking about. Cosby's different. Cosby was drugging women. Whether it was socially acceptable or not, it doesn't matter. He was still drugging women. Yeah, it was illegal anyway you do it. As far as the movie producer guy goes, well, he's – oh, I heard him talking some bullshit defense about you can't try me because that's how it was in the day and both women and men did the casting couch. Probably true, but you're the one that got caught. So you're the one they're going to make an example out of. But getting back to Brett, in this point – you got to understand something. This is what you call a coup. The Democrats have tried every way they can illegally to remove this guy from office. Same thing with Trump. They have spent the last 2 years trying to, instead of trying to better the country and do things to help the country, they have been spending your taxpayer money on things that polls clearly show they don't want to be spent on. Nobody thinks this guy, I mean, it's like 80% of America thinks this guy is fine for the Supreme Court. Only the liberals have a problem with this. So it's time for them to move on. Same thing with Trump. They've been trying to impeach now. The New York's prosecutors are subpoenaing Trump's tax returns. Why? What avenue? You have to have. See, that's another thing. New York wouldn't pass special laws so that they could get Trump's tax returns. That's illegal. That's using the justice system for political gain. That's all this is, and that's exactly what's going on here. New York prosecutors, well, you need to produce the evidence then. This is the president of the United States. What evidence did you have that he, and besides that, New York shouldn't be doing it. The IRS should be doing it. The New York prosecutor has no business looking at Trump's tax returns without the IRS's permission. Because if the IRS don't have a problem, they definitely shouldn't have a problem. And you got to remember, this was all done under Obama's IRS, not Trump's. So you just got to wonder right there. They're trying to find anything. They're so desperate. There's only a year left, and they need something to get this president on so they have a chance of winning. Because not a candidate they have. I hate to say this. Even if they find someone Trump, guys, I don't think your lousy candidates can beat Pence or whoever might show their face. Nobody wants a socialist. Biden's done. I mean, it's like dumb Biden, so nobody's going to vote for him. And Bernie and are both socialists. Pocahontas is not going to be president. Bernie's not going to be president. I'm pretty sure that the country would rather vote for frickin' Chihuahua. Oh, their numbers are cool. Yeah, let's look at their numbers. So they're pulling 22% amongst the liberals. They're not even pulling 20% amongst the Democrats, just the frickin' liberals. Out of 100% Democrats, they can't even get more than 18 or 16% of the vote. That's not going to get you to be president. And I hate to tell y'all, lily white boys, but I don't think the black population is all interested in voting for Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, or Mr. Magoo, or like I like to call him, Gargamel. I got a meme of him and Gargamel I have to put up for y'all. The country's not interested in this. Why do you think Trump got elected in the first place? Because you put up morons last time. That, and you never learned anything. You got slaughtered in the last two elections. Actually, pretty much since Obama got elected the first time, you've been getting slaughtered. The only place you actually won in the last 12 years was when Obama won his second term as president. Other than that, you lost all the way up until 2 years ago when you won the House back, barely. Everybody, that was our blue wave. 36 is not a blue wave. 200 might have been a blue wave. 36 is not, and you lost seats in the Senate. So apparently your blue wave had some sandbars in it. Yeah, I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. That's the press today. Oh, and then, you know, we were talking about the press a little while ago. We need laws about the press now. I got to be honest. I don't think anything should be reported. Well, my source. If you can't produce the source, you can't report the story. Because how many times has CNN and NBC been wrong? New York Times, Washington Post have been wrong. Oh, our source says, I mean, we listen to Rachel Maddow Mandel and Anderson Cooper and Wolf Pitzers and all go on for 2 years how Trump was going to jail and they got him and then nothing. There was nothing. There wasn't even no evidence to put him in jail with. Everything they said was a fabrication or a lie. Oh, my source. Well, your source is an idiot. And they pay those sources. So there just needs to be a law now. If you think somebody's doing something wrong and you need to report it, then you need to be first. You need to come forward as a source. And then because you are the source, there needs to be a law that protects you for coming forward. But you better be telling the truth. Or there's going to be feedback. See, right now, people report stuff and they're lying because they want to get the money. But there's no name, so they can't get any rebut. Well, that needs to stop. Anonymous sources are bullshit because anybody can say, I got a source. I could sit here all night and say, I got a source. And I actually have sources, and I would still could sit here. And even if I didn't, I could say, well, my source said, you know, my source said Brett Kavanaugh was with this fancy dancy Spanish woman. And I mean, come on. Oh, well, to tell you the truth, my source said he saw Bernie Sanders. My source works for Bernie Sanders' campaign, and he said he saw Bernie Sanders sucking face with Bernie Sanders. You know what I mean. With Beto, Bernie was sucking face with Beto O'Rourke. That's another one. He's not going to be president. Kamala Moron Harris ain't going to be president. No, there's nobody they got that can beat Trump. And all Trump's going to get up there and say, and this is what I don't understand, this is why they're going to lose the House back. Trump's going to get up there and say, this has been an attempted coup. They've been trying to kick me out of office. The country's doing great. And for 2 years, all they've done is try to impeach me or do this, do that, even though they got six. Remember now, six investigations gave Trump clean health, including two FBI investigations and an attorney general investigation. Even President Obama said he was clean. But here we are. almost 4 years later now, because this happened, started 18 months or 16 months before the presidency, and we're still going through this. All because Democrats can't accept the fact that they got their asses handed to them for the last 10 years. And the reason why, Dems, is you haven't learned. The country's not interested in these stupid ideas. They don't care what AOC thinks. Yeah, NBC cares, CBS cares, but the people don't care what the Moo Moo thinks. She whinnies like a jackass every time she talks. Yeah, she does. Go watch her. I ain't even going there. She does. But it's regardless. She's a 29-year-old kid who was a bartender for, 3 years, who has no real life experience. She was raised, if she was white, we'd say white privilege. We'll just say color privilege. How's that? She was raised color privilege. She has no idea what she's talking about. And you're going to listen to her? You're going to use her to beat up on Nancy Pelosi? I don't even like Nancy, but at least Nancy got some half a brain in her head. AOC ain't even got half a brain in her head. You know, I mean, I don't know what the Democratic Party has become now. Socialist? You show me one socialist country on this planet, one, that's ever been worth a shit or ever even made any progress. One. I'm just asking one. Every time I ask one, oh, isn't that kind of socialist we mean? It's exactly what you say, because Bernie said, well, we're going to give medicine to everybody. Everybody's going to get money. Everybody's going to get this. Nobody even got to go to work. We'll support. Really? And how are we going to do that? China and Russia just going to throw money at us? Europe? I mean, and then what gets me is people listen and believe this shit. Look, especially millennials and Z generations, I'm going to tell you like I used to tell the old timers, because they just is dumb. Every time you hear something, check it out at least 3 times, especially when it comes to politics. Just check it out. There's a lot of lie and bullshit goes on. Check it out. You know, if you were to listen to NBC, you'd think Trump was this, that, and the other thing. If you were to listen to One American News or BBC America or Fox, you'd think it's a whole other thing. He's actually somewhere in between. But you need to find that out on your own. I mean, Bernie Sanders is a moron. He has no business even running for president. Elizabeth Warren is a moron. Biden wasn't a moron, but he is now. He's like, I'm Biden, man. You know what? I think I'm smoking a joint for a clean tonight. Oh, that's why I can't remember. Anyway, I promise, guys, next time, no weed, and I'll remember the whole debate. He's an idiot. His son's corrupt as could be. They're tied in with Russia and Ukraine all over the place. You know, and I keep hearing the Dems, oh, Trump needs Trump. Look, Dems, you haven't even cleaned up your own mess. You had a Secretary of State who was selling uranium to the Russians, who got caught with her hand in a cookie jar, erased 30,000 emails when she was subpoenaed. She should be doing at least 5 years for every piece of evidence that she kept away from the – it doesn't matter what it was. All her emails were subpoenaed. Let me tell you what. It doesn't matter if they're personal or not. When the FBI or state police or any cop comes to you, a judge hands you a subpoena, and you erase evidence, you're destroying evidence. That's a prosecutable offense, a big-time prosecutable offense. She didn't even get in trouble for that. Then you get in trouble for – now we know that there was copies of her server in Russia and China. Yeah, she basically just gave them everything. So, you know, that's what went on. Some back room, somebody mentioned, oh, she look, I'll hook you up a server here. You can just, you know, copy everything to yourself. And that's what we found out. There was a copy thing going to China. They copied everything that went through that server. And she's still not in trouble. Let me tell you what, if that was you or I, guys, we'd be doing 30 years right now. If we weren't dead for treason. Yeah, I'm serious, because that would be considered treason for most of us. Come on, they gave the guy for taking a picture in the submarine 5 years. And it wasn't even anything that could even hurt the sub or anything. Yeah, but yet Hillary ain't in any trouble. One thing I did hear today I found interesting. They are talking about bringing charges on Comey and on McCabe. I can't think of two sweeter guys that should be charged. And now we found out that the FBI for like 4 years has been hacked under Obama by the Russians. Yeah, there's some big problems. There. Under Obama, all kinds of secrets got out. Think about it. Edward Snowden. What's his name? The guy who turned into the girl, the weirdo freako. And then you had Snowden. And then, of course, you had Julian Assange. But there was several big breaches under Obama. Because he was doing it on purpose. Obama hated this country. He was a traitor. You've heard what his wife and all said. She had never been proud of America before. She hated this country. Yeah. She thought she should just be rich by somebody giving her some money. And just so you know, and you don't have to believe me, you can go look for yourself. So she got a $60 million book deal. He got a $120 million Netflix deal. That's $185 million. And to go see her speak right now, it's $5,000 a seat. Now, if you want to go backstage and meet her, it's $15,000 per person. Yeah, greedy bitch, ain't she? Showing her true colors all over the place. Forgot about the people who got her there. Don't have no seats for you poor people or you sisters that might want to go see your empress. No, she just gave you a big fat finger, didn't she? Yeah, go on, girls. Try to get over there and get in and see her, see what happens. You get arrested is what you'll get. She used you just like she used everybody else. So did Obama. Hey, look, you got used. That's how it is. Anyway, I know we got to get out of here in just a couple minutes. We're making up our late time now. 10 died from birthday. Oh, shit. Teen died from birthday meal even after he told the restaurant of his allergies. Yeah, I think we'd be owning that restaurant after that. I don't know what else you're going to do about that. Oh, and she's such a lovely woman, isn't she? Look at her. I mean, she's a sweet, lovely-looking woman. Republicans slam Omar comments about 9/11 following Face the Nation interview. First off, she hates America, by the way. You shouldn't even be allowed to serve in Congress if you hate America. Or our allies, for that matter. You should not be allowed to serve in Congress. Actually, the Dems told her not to seek re-election next time around. I don't know if she'll listen or not, but they told her not to. Well, it does seem like she did sleep with her brother and helped him to get in the country illegally. And there does seem to be some other issues with money. So I think they told her, go away or we're going to investigate this and you're going to go to jail. We'll see. We'll know in what, just a few months. Because the House is only 2-year seat, so we'll know in just a few months. Actually, Deneen, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get to go to Area 51. I'm trying. I'm waiting on to find out right now from a customer that owes me money. If they come through within 2 days of it, I'll be going. If not, not so much. No, I don't want to use credit cards. You know, I don't like credit card debt. But anyway, this woman, so first off, she slams Israel. Then she says, oh, some people did 9/11 and some people got killed. That's her words, by the way, in the first interview she did. Some people did 9/11 and some people got killed. First off, 3,400 Americans got killed. And crazy-ass Taliban Muslims did this. So trying to deny it just shows you that you shouldn't be in Congress. It's just a lie. You know, we always say people need to take up for their actions. The Democrats never accept fault for their actions. They always lie and try to put it off on somebody else. They have become the hate party, the party of hate and bullying. You know, they're supposed to be party of tolerance, and they're the party of hate and bullying. Anytime they don't like anything, it's like, oh, don't buy their stuff. Don't go there. Go, you know, that's just hate and bullying. Well, it's like New York isn't going to do business now. It's like this is like the fifth state now that they're not going to be able to do business with. They said that there can't be any traveling to these states on California money because they don't accept transgenders. Actually, California, you're going to get sued. Yeah, you can't make, that's not a law you can make. Yeah, California, forget sometimes it's a state, it's not the country. Yeah, it tries to do stuff like it's the Fed. Yeah, there's quite a few laws being challenged over there. Laura, yeah, panics after she sees Felicity Huffman sentence. Last I heard, she was going to do 14 days. If I'm wrong, somebody can text me. Oh, this is an interesting piece. We're not going to have time for it, though. 10 recently discovered planets that are just like Earth. Well, they're not just like Earth, but it's very interesting to read. Oh, look at this. Exclusive. Russia carried out stunning breach of FBI communication system, escalating the spy game on U.S. soil. This is why Obama threw them out of the country. They just never told us the real reason why. We're just finding out. Yeah, look at him, huh? You can look at both of them in the face and know they're both fucking liars. Ooh, beep, beep, sorry. Hopefully the beep, beep button caught that. Snowden says he would return to the U.S. if he can be guaranteed a fair trial. Actually, Snowden, under Trump, I think you'll get a fair trial. I think you're going to get a decade in jail, but they might be nice and let you out like they did Chelsea. The freak. Yeah, I can't guarantee that, but you can hope. Building is gone. Propane blast kills fighter, hurts six. Oh, yeah, it did. It leveled the building, by the way. It was just dust. Brian Turk from TV's Beverly Hills 90210 dies from cancer at 49. Oh, man. Personally depressing one here. Drew Brees has torn a ligament thumb. It's going to be out for 6 weeks. Saints had such a good shot at the Super Bowl this year. I'm going to cry. Well, there's always the Tigers to watch. Trump's administration urges law doesn't protect gays from workplace bias. Exopolitics, it's Alfred Weber, by the way. interviewing Stephen Bissett. Spaced Out Radio, and Law of Attraction. Ooh, Laura Magdalene, Eisenhower. Antonio Brown's stepfather claims Patriot wide receiver is very abusive to women. That doesn't surprise me. I see no evil, I speak no evil, I am no evil. I mean, I am no evil, I am no evil. This moron, this is dumb, dumb, and dumbest. Whichever way you want to go, it doesn't matter to me. I'm sorry, we got to get out of here. I can't help it. It is like dumb, dumb, and dumbest. Man, I'm so depressed by the Democrats, I don't even know how to act. Oh, here you go. Look at this guy. Oh, hello. I'm Joe Biden. Vote for me for president of the United States of where we live, honey? Oh, Africa. I mean America. Thank you. And my favorite statement he's made in the last few weeks is, black people, your parents can't raise you right. I don't know what the... That wasn't, I'm sorry. It was just, really, that's, oh, excuse me. How do you make a statement like that? That's like, you know, the 49% with Mitt Romney. I mean, how do you make a statement like that? No, I mean, he just blatantly said, black people need help raising their children. He wants to put a psychologist, he said, in every community or something. Oh my God! It was pretty insulting. That's all I can say. Black transgender woman found dead. Rights in the LGBT community amongst Trump are worse. No, actually, there's been fewer violence. See, this is what you got to watch. See, this is another outright lie from Yahoo News. Yahoo, you can't call yourself news. Okay, propaganda, but not news. You're like the Inquirer. I mean, really. Yeah, there's actually less gay violence, less violence against gays under Trump than there was under Obama. There's also less violence against blacks and whites under Trump than there was under Obama. Yeah, figure that out. There's also less gun violence, less mass shootings under Trump. The media wants to play it up, but Obama, for his last 4 years, was having almost a mass shooting a week. Trump, it's been much more spread out. But they don't want to admit to that because it makes him sound good. It doesn't fit with their blowing bullshit is, you know, later in the day. And this is just two idiots right here. Thugs who dangled homeless woman from 60-foot balcony, jailed for 12 years. Yeah, you stupid, deserve it. Oh, hey, Megan. This used to be my ex-girlfriend. Let me sit up in case she's looking. Megan, I miss you, baby, but not enough to get back with you. Megyn Kelly reacts to Miss Thorne playing her in the Bombshell. No, Megan got too big for her britches, and she, you know, she knew Fox was a Trump supporter, and then she went after him anyway. She's trying to make her name on Trump, which was dumb. Sorry, Megan, I miss you, baby, but you know, what can we do? And NBC, she got in trouble with MSNBC. Mm-hmm. But we got to get y'all check out the rest of these. Quite a few articles up here that we post. I get quite a few posted every day because there's several of us that post here. You can see this one. I had a heart attack while driving my kids to school. How the community came together and saved her. Gronk's been told to shut up by the NFL because he keeps talking about how many concussions he had. I know, huh? Veterinarian dies covered in bites from ant in nursing home. This is a VA guy. He's in a VA hospital, died from ant bites. Yeah, somebody needs to go to prison for that. And on and on and on and on and on. But anyway, we got to get out of here. Oh, Lord. There's always something being found in something somewhere. But again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to News on the Flip Side. I'm Joe Montalvo. Lily White will be back with me next week. We're going to be going through talking with some new hosts coming in, but we'll be looking for some hosts for this show and a couple other shows. So if you're interested, you can always write to me at icarcox.net, or you can catch me on the phone or on Facebook or something. We're definitely looking for a few hosts. We got the Centralist coming out this year, so we're looking for hosts for that. We're revising the old News on the Flip Side, so we're looking for hosts for that, and we're looking for a host for this show tonight and on Thursday nights, I believe. But anyway, again, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to News on the Flip Side. I'm your host, Joe Montaldo. And until next week, have some fun. Enjoy your life. Smile a little bit. You know, if you got to listen to politics, take it with a grain of salt. On that note, good night, everyone, and stay tuned for the next show coming up. Dun, 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 dun.
The delicious sound of McDonald's breakfast sausage hitting the grill. Hot and savory sausage that makes any breakfast a great one. And if sausage is the taste you love, you're going to love this savory deal. Because now you can get three tasty breakfast sandwiches for just $1. A sausage McGriddles, sausage McMuffin, or sausage biscuit, now each for just a buck. Hot and tasty, fast and easy. That's breakfast at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and the time has come for you and your friends to have some fun. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, basketball, college, and all your favorite sports events. You can take a side, total, or try their in-game live action. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and use promo code CHAMPION to be entered into our amazing prize pool. That's MyBookie.net, promo code CHAMPION. Get in on the action today.
No deposit is necessary. Terms and conditions apply for entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.